My name is Father Tim Farrell, and it's always good to be back in the Diocese of Arlington. My brother Louis and his wife Carolyn are here. They're the parents of Father Joseph Farrell, who's my nephew. You might remember him. Anyone remember him? Okay, good. I'll let him know. Three or four of you remembered him. Yeah. Keep him humble, right? It's really good to be in the Diocese of Arlington. It's much warmer here than where I headed out. I headed out from Durango, Colorado, which is just north of where I live in northern New Mexico. And when I was leaving, it was minus 6 degrees, and the snow was everywhere. I mean, if you want good skiing, come to my area, okay? Purgatory Ski Resort, it's not just a place when you die. Purgatory is also actually a ski resort, very famous one, right near where I live. Purgatory has a base of 45 inches of snow, just the base. You go up to Wolf Creek Pass, 75 inches of base snow. Can imagine at the summit, right? And Wolf Creek Pass, I was just reading this today, 250 inches of snow just so far this winter, and we have a long winter to go. So we prayed for the end to the drought, and God answered us. I mean, we have lots of snow for the summer because we rely on that, especially down where I live in Farmington, New Mexico. So it's great to be here. Again, I'm Father Joseph Farrell's uncle, and you might remember me or might not from preaching the 40 hours here a few years back. The first night was canceled due to ice. The second night, no one remembered to come, like three people. I wasn't sure of their sobriety. And then the third night, several people showed, and then I was out. So I got paid for like one night of work. It was interesting. But I did preach it, I promise. I preached two nights, once to near nobody, and then the third night to a few people. And it was very cold, and the ice was all over the place out there. So it was a cold winter for you all at that time. Now, I'm back here at your pastor's invitation. Your pastor, Father Saunders, has visited me the last few summers. And he said this last summer when he was visiting me, Tim, why don't you come and preach and beg money at my place? I was like, really? All right. Well, you know, I'd love to. I love the Diocese of Arlington. I have a lot of connections here. And so I thank him for the invitation. Thank you, Father. I come from the Diocese of Gallup, like the Gallup Poll, G-A-L-L-U-P. In northern New Mexico, northern Arizona, to help the very poor of my missionary diocese. We're unique. We're in two states. We're a very large missionary diocese. I'm proud to beg for my people. And I come to you simply asking for whatever help you can give us. My nephew has visited me many summers. And he's planning to come back out with a priest friend of his who came out last year, and they seem to enjoy it. And my nephew, Father Joe Farrell, loves Lotteburger. Now, what is a Lotteburger? Lotteburger is a New Mexico hamburger. You can only get it in New Mexico, so if you want a Lotteburger, you got to come out. You know, I'm not shipping it to you. So the Lotteburger, Blake's Lotteburger, is only in New Mexico, and it has green chili on the hamburger. Now, Texans always talk about their chili. They don't know what they're talking about. Texans are next door to us. They do like chili and beans, and it's not very good. Sorry about any Texans here, but Texans think they have chili. They don't have chili. Arizona calls their chili chili, and it's jalapeno peppers. Can you imagine? Only in New Mexico can you get red and green chili, the famous chili of New Mexico. And Blake's Lotteburger, Father Joe goes out and visits me, and the first thing he says before he says hi, Uncle Tim, is, let's go to Blake's Lotteburger. And so I take him there, and he gets a big hamburger. And I think Father Saunders, did you have one? No? Okay. He's a wimp. Anyway, just kidding. So next summer, he's going to get a Blake's Lotteburger. He has to try it. But I did get him to eat red and green chili, and he worried about it, and he's fallen in love with it. So now he eats red and green chili with me at some of my favorite restaurants. And I've shown him around my vast diocese. I'm very proud of my diocese. My brother Louis and I grew up on the Navajo Indian Reservation because my father was a federal geologist and we were transferred there. My mother said she cried for a month when she woke up and saw the landscape because it was just barren. I mean, it's desert. And we had come from Shreveport, Louisiana, which has all green, and we wake up in the middle of the desert. And yet we grew to love it. And I went back out as a newspaper reporter, and I always wanted to go back out west. Then I felt the call to priesthood, went off to seminary, and I've been a priest there for almost 30 years now. So I know Father Saunders loves it because he's a historian. We have a great history out there and great people, just like here, great people in my missionary diocese. So Father Saunders is always welcome to visit. All of you are welcome to visit. I'd love to have all of you out. It's good for tourism. In 1936, Pope Pius XII, who was then Cardinal Pacelli, was flying from Los Angeles to New York City. Now, that was early for flight, right? I mean, he was on a little plane. And he kept looking down at this desolate landscape down below. And he was quite concerned, and he thought out loud. He wondered, who took care of these people? Were there any people down there? And they told him, yes, Your Eminence, there are Native Americans, Navajo Indians, Hopi Indians, Pueblo Indians, some Spanish, and some people new from Mexico. And he said, well, who takes care of them? Well, Tucson Diocese and Santa Fe Archdiocese, but there are not many priests to help them out. So soon after he was named Pope, he had landed in Winslow, Arizona, right? Standing on the corner in Winslow, Arizona, my first parish in Winslow, Route 66, right? That's a big part of my diocese, goes right through the middle of it. He stopped in Winslow, then Gallup, and then went on. And the first diocese he named when he became Pope was our diocese. It's an amazing thing. That's how much it was on his mind, the poor people of my diocese. So our diocese was carved from the Archdiocese of Santa Fe, parts of it, and the Diocese of Tucson, Arizona. And it was created to serve the Native Americans. It was a huge diocese. Imagine this, 90,000 square miles. It was New Mexico, a huge hunk of New Mexico, but then on the Arizona side, it was even larger. It went all the way to the California border. It was huge. We're smaller now. Due to the Diocese of Phoenix being formed from a large part of our territory in the northern part of Arizona. And we're still huge. We're the largest diocese in the United States, 55,000 square miles. I always say Phoenix took the rich parts, if there are any rich parts. They took Sedona, Arizona, if you ever go there, and the Grand Canyon, and they left us with nothing. But we're still there. Didn't kill us off. We're pretty tough. The landscape, the people, the faith expression within this area, they're extraordinary and unlike any other diocese in this nation. There are 53 parishes, 13 schools, and 5 social centers within our boundaries. And they're all serving approximately 63,000 Catholics among a total population of 490,000 people. We have Pueblo churches at Zuni, Acoma, Laguna, which were built in the 1600s, and they're still used as the churches for those good people. But most of our churches, especially on the Navajo Indian Reservation, are little trailers or hogan-shaped structures. Hogans are little mud huts that a lot of the Navajos still live in. No water, no electricity. It's a third world in my diocese. I come to you to simply ask you to help us in our missionary efforts. We're very poor. We're without the resources of other dioceses to sustain our missions. We have no large towns. I'm from the largest town, which is 50,000 people. I'm the pastor of the largest parish in Farmington, New Mexico, Sacred Heart. No real population centers. Our chancery, for instance, is a dilapidated, falling-in building right on the railroad tracks on Route 66 in downtown Gallup. I was in a meeting with the bishop in that building. I thought the thing was falling down. The dust was falling from the roof, and the train came by, and I thought we were in an earthquake. It's that close. And the bishop just laughed at me. He said, "Father, it's the 12 o'clock train." Good, because I thought we were having an earthquake. I just wasn't sure. So I come today to ask you to help us work for the salvation of souls, to ease the suffering of the human condition in my diocese, to help us witness to the truth by spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. From the White Mountain Apaches in the high country of Arizona to the Navajo Indians on the largest Indian reservation in the whole world, there is truly a third world feel to our diocese. The people's poverty is certainly financial. Imagine this. On the Navajo Indian Reservation, the unemployment rate is 75%. 75%. But we who serve in the Diocese of Gallup also know about the poverty of the spirit of our people. There is, for instance, a terrible alcoholism rate on all the Indian reservations, and terrible drug addiction is rampant. And now the terrible gangs out of Los Angeles have set up shop on various reservations and are destroying our young men and women. Your help to our diocese will bring hope to our people. We as Roman Catholics in the Diocese of Gallup have a very long and proud history. Nearly 100 years before the pilgrims landed on the eastern coast of this continent, the Spanish explorer and Franciscan priest, Marcos de Niza, arrived in the area of Zuni to look for the fabled cities of gold. From his entrance into what is now our diocesan borders in 1539, through the settling of the Spanish at Acoma, and Laguna Pueblos in the early 1600s, our history is storied. Of course, then came the very famous Pueblo revolts in 1680 and the reconquest by the Spanish 12 years later. And then much later came St. Catherine Drexel in the late 1800s to establish a school at St. Michael's, Arizona, which is there to this day. You here in the Diocese of Arlington may know our diocese from visiting the Great Southwest. Or more likely, you may know our area from seeing Monument Valley and the other locales from the John Wayne Westerns and other Hollywood films. John Wayne and his family still have a ranch near Springerville, Arizona. I was pastor in St. John's, Arizona, and John Wayne used to go to Mass with his first wife, of many wives, I gather. But he would go to Mass with her at St. John's, my parish, long before I was there. And then he'd go to the bar, Leandro's, who was a good parishioner of mine, and get drunk right after. And then he'd beat people up. I mean, he was really John Wayne. He got in fights, and they'd have to call the sheriff in. And they'd always find out it was John Wayne. And God bless John Wayne. He went on to become a Catholic on his deathbed. He raised his kids Catholic, and his grandson's a priest in the Archdiocese of Los Angeles. So looks just like John Wayne, hopefully not as ornery. But I know you must understand the poverty of our people and all too often the loss of all hope. Our needs in the northern country of both Arizona and New Mexico are great. Due to our poverty as a diocese, we don't have a bureaucracy. We're too poor to have a bureaucracy. Isn't that a great thing? I know you're close to D.C., but we don't have a bureaucracy in my diocese. Every penny that you give to the poor in my diocese tonight in the second collection, and by the way, if you're going to write a check, and I hope you do, make it out to your parish, and then a little note, Gallup, G-A-L-L-U-P, like the Gallup poll. Don't put Gallup poll on there. That'll throw everybody up. Just Gallup, okay? I promise you, every penny If you cannot give financially, please just remember us in your prayers. They're powerful. As the Gospel of Luke asks all of us, put out into the deep water and trust. That's what I've had to do as a priest for 30 years in my diocese, and God always provides. Simply give what you can from your hearts, and God's going to do the rest. Thank you for giving what you can to help my people in the second collection today, and may God bless you for your many kindnesses.